Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. Tonight we have DJ Monkey Business and Lance. That's me, DJ Monkey Business and Lance. And we and tonight's very special topic is relationships. Lance and I just came back from a 5-day cruise to Alaska, and
it was run by the Est people, actually.
And what I learned several things during this cruise. But first, what the primary lesson I learned was empowerment. I realized that it's my show. What I want to talk about is what we're going to talk about. And if it's going to happen, it's up to me, DJ Monkey Business. And so if I get any callers, that if you give me any crap or if Lance gives me any crap, you're cut off. That's the bottom line. I just want to set the proper emotional tone for the rest of the evening. With us tonight is a very special relationship expert,
DJ Bonobo, to go with the monkey theme.
DJ Bonobo. Oh, so I wondered why you were presenting your cherry red ass to me.
Well, it's a traditional sign of submission and welcome.
Wow. Oh, I completely misinterpreted that. I thought you were offering me...
Did you think it was anger intention?
Well, no, I thought he was just offering me a piece of spicy meat that he had...
that he reshaved onto his backside. Some sort of sweet meat, a liver, perhaps.
Why won't this show end?
Anyways, we should announce that the show isn't just about relationships. It's more specifically about breakups, actually, and the end of relationships.
Well, you know, as you know, before every breakup, there's a breakdown.
Isn't there a break in as well?
And a breakthrough. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, because every beginning implies an ending, every fabulous, beautiful relationship... which implies the death
in the first flowering of love and the beautiful beginning of a relationship, it's tainted by the seed of its own destruction.
Joan Baez said it best in her theme song to the movie Silent Running when she said,
Joan Baez wrote the theme song to the movie Silent Running. Did they tell her what it was about?
It's not like a big... everybody knows this, right? It's very distinctive. If you know anything about what Joan Baez sounds like and you hear this theme song... Anyway.
A good friend of mine, an older woman, very wise in the ways of relationships, once said, actually, apropos of your comment, Lance, that you can always see at the beginning of the relationship the fault that will cause the end. And I think this may be more true in hindsight, right? Because there are lots of little things that may be wrong or...
Well, if
it's the beginning of a relationship,
then it's not really true at all, because if you can't actually see...
I didn't say it was totally false, except for in hindsight, right? I said it seems to be more true in hindsight. You can say, yes, we broke up because of her hatred of goat sex, and she mentioned this early at the beginning of the relationship, and I should have paid more attention.
Before we really sink our thick canine teeth into this topic, I should point out to our listeners our phone number, which is 621-9728. Or here on the Carnegie Mellon campus, 89728. And tonight, if you listen to the show and you've ever broken up with someone or been broken up with someone...
Which should include pretty much everybody out there.
You have no excuse not to call and share your story and or insights.
So let the calls begin.
I take issue, though. I'm sure that the Pope, when he was still in the beginning of his spiritual development, at times thought... perhaps misperceived that God was not at his side, and he probably felt an aching sense of loss not being connected to the Holy Father. I mean, in hindsight, like it says in that book about the footsteps on the beach, that was when God was actually carrying him. But, at the time, still, the longing must have been powerful.
Okay. That was remarkably Tori Amos-like.
Once again, if you're hoping to establish your domination of the airwaves through Pope lore.
Do you have any other good insights to share?
You succeeded masterfully. Let me allow your story about the Pope to expand our definition of a breakup, right? It doesn't have to be sexual, right? I mean, the Pope loves God deeply in the way that a man loves a wife. I'm not actually sure how the theology works in that circumstances. I know that nuns are supposed to be married to God. I'm not sure what that implies about the Pope.
So I could consider a breakup even to be something like she starts turning out her lights before she undresses now, the woman across the street.
Well, no, I think she's still leaving you an opening. Like, it's not until she actually, I mean, because until she pulls the blinds down, that night vision scope you've gotten recently.
As my pal Stinky says, it's not until the restraining order hits that you know it's not love.
So, should we start off the show with a segment of viewer, of listener mail?
Are they breakup specific?
Yeah, breakup specific listener mail. We've been, I went through our giant tubs of mail that we have.
I'm not sure I'm ready. I mean, I started taking Effexor this week, and I'm not really sure I'm ready for any kind of big emotional changes.
What's Effexor? It sounds like a highly expensive European construction kit for young boys.
It's a powerful antidepressant. Actually, I'm not really taking it, but I could be. I'm trying to get one of the antidepressant companies to sponsor the show so that we can get all the free drugs we want.
Why aren't we going for the
Percocet,
the orgasm prolonging Celexa, as has been discussed at length on the show?
Well, God knows I tried. You know, the repeated emails to the website have produced nothing. Percocet would actually be.
Is Percocet an antidepressant or a
trans? No, but it'd be more fun to get free samples of than say. An antidepressant.
Percocet is a prescription narcotic, which is used to reduce pain.
Hmm.
Of course. But also makes you feel kind of groovy when you take it. Not that, I mean.
You would know.
Not that the show
condones.
the improper use of any drugs, but I'm just saying that these drugs have both their intended effects and their unintended side effects.
So you're saying it would be optimal for it would be optimal to feeling the effects during the breakup or immediately after the breakup?
I think Percocet, as opposed to, say, the bottle of whiskey, right, if you're going for more of the opiate version of the Tom Waits.
Well, there are people that go breakup. On – just apropos Percocet, there are people that go on Percocet dates where they actually – like a person and his girlfriend will get together and they'll take a Percocet and, like, just stay in bed for, like, 12 hours kind of just, like, rolling around and kind of, like, being half woozy, half awake, half asleep. And then when the effect wears off, they just take more. And so
it's like an eternal Sunday afternoon in bed without the New York Times.
Yeah, I was going to say no crossword puzzle, but otherwise the same thing. I think it's better if you're also wrapped in a sleeping bag and you just, like, let your waste seep into the bag.
waste issues aside, it seems like a pretty poor excuse for a date, right? Like, if the best thing you can think to come up with to do with your sweetie is to loll around in an opiate haze.
Well, and that may be one of the things that, looking back in hindsight, you realize was the cause, the, quote, cause of the breakup.
Right.
So exactly. There was a piece of viewer mail that you had. See, I'm obsessively plucking at my eyebrows. This is one of the things I was trying to get the effects order to.
Are you trying to break up with your left eyebrow, but leave your relationship with your right eyebrow intact?
Well, this is the eye that offended me, and so I'm trying to pluck it out.
Well, it looks more by the looks of it, it's your eyebrow that offended you.
And don't underestimate the effect of the eyebrow mites.
Those baby blues are still shining. Anyway, so this is addressed to you, as is all our listener mail. How come no one ever writes listener mail to me? I don't know. Anyways, dear DJ 2000, my boyfriend just broke up with me. We had a great relationship, great talking, and we were great friends. And important to me, he was respectful about my desire to stay a virgin until marriage. But recently, he broke up with me without much of an explanation, and we haven't really talked since. My problem is that now he looks better than ever. He's in shape, and he goes to the gym regularly. And all of a sudden, he dresses way better. He even looks great compared to all those young guys on the swim team he seems to hang out with all the time. My question to you, DJ 2000, is what can I do to get him back? Signed, Morose Mary in Moon Township.
So first, Mary, I don't think you should – this is actually a different tone than normal the show. I should be serious. Like, I don't think you should take his new look, revivification of his style and so forth, as a personal comment, the fact that he was trying to be shabby for you or so forth. Like, it's very common – what do you call it? Very common effect of breaking up, right, that you try to reinvent yourself, try to make yourself feel better. You know, maybe by working out more.
Do you think that's what this guy's doing, is trying to reinvent himself?
Perhaps, yeah. And, you know, when you break up with someone, often you're depressed and you have a lot of free time. And you can either, you know, dive into that box of Krispy Kremes or more profitably, you can start, say, working out. That's a very common way to kind of get over post-relationship blues.
Well, this conversation can go on so many levels. You know, as an internet day trader, the Krispy Kreme company just had their IPO, a couple of weeks ago, right? Isn't that right?
I bet it went through the roof.
It did. It was huge. And secondly, another
more market cap than GM now.
Another thing I got your market cap right here. another thing that you commented on, which I found very interesting, was that you said people after a breakup reinvent myself, and I'm sensing a little more reinventing in this scenario than reading between the lines a little bit.
You mean hanging out with the swimmers?
Hanging out with the swimmers.
The svelte, oiled swimmers.
Dressing up nice. There was
showers together. The snapping of towels. The back rubs.
The vice-like grip of their butt cheeks. Wasn't Letter mentioned something like that?
That was the PS.
Yeah, there's no vice-like in there. I mean, what you thought you heard vice-like grip, it was actually death grip.
So I'm wondering if this gentleman just did a little bit too much reinventing and actually sort of switched to the other team, if you know what I mean.
The other swim team?
Yeah,
I think she's made it clear it's her own swim team that he's hanging out with.
Oh, not the men's swim team.
Oh, no, it is the men's swim team, but it's a swim team from her school.
Right.
I don't think he's doing the breaststroke anymore, if you know what I mean.
Well, the letter doesn't make clear whether he's a swimmer or not, so that's a perfect way
to go. But, you know, it would be true, right, that nobody would be more respectful of a young woman's virginity than a gay man. Would have no interest in coming anywhere near it, right? So
is that true? We have a gay. Well, fortunately, we have a gay man right here, right?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, there's certainly both part of popular lore and true that you know, gay men seem to sort of seek out like girlfriends who are like really good friends, who have the potential to be really good friends, but who also might have some other excuse for not wanting to have sex, either because they're not interested or because they're saving themselves for marriage or so on. And so they end up being these kind of relationships of convenience, although the
beards.
The female gets kind of the short end of that stick, if she isn't,
so to speak.
If she isn't, you know, if you let it go on too long, it's kind of...
Wedding night would be a big disappointment.
Well, yeah, and she's also kind of invested all this emotional capital in you. You know.
You don't think that subconsciously usually they know? Well, I mean, if the scenario you describe is what's really happening in our listener mail, apparently not.
I don't think they necessarily know. I mean, you know, especially since gay men are typically so much more sensitive than the corresponding straight man. I mean, the woman for a long time might feel that she has, you know, an incredible catch. You know, finally she's found a really great guy who she really gets along with and who likes, you know, who likes shopping and Buffy as much as she does, right, or whatever.
And has no interest in 70s porn-style action on her unspoiled Moon Township body. But to get to her question, right, she asks, how can I get him back?
Can I ask a somewhat tangential question about gay men and straight women?
Certainly, because, yes, I am the international authority on gay men and straight women.
Well, I mean...
Certainly the resident authority.
Yeah, I'm just bringing it up from the point of view of the show. So, you know how men behave in prison?
Boy, do I.
Well, I know. Let me rephrase it. I don't have to remind you, DJ Monkey Business, of how men behave in prison, right? So, clearly, it seems that men who otherwise would claim to be straight would often turn to, you know, who would seem to prefer to be with a woman while in prison, when with left in their choice, will turn to a man for comfort. I'll hold off on my question.
I believe we have a phone call, and as you know, on the show, the callers always come first. So is the caller on the air?
Yeah, I think so. Is that me?
Hello, caller. Thank you so much for calling our show. As you know, tonight's topics are breakups and homosexual prison sex.
Yeah, I heard something about prison sex, and that naturally piqued my interest.
I think the topic is always at some level about homosexual prison sex.
About prison sex? Oh, excellent. I don't have any stories about that, I'm sorry to say.
That is too bad. Thank you for calling, though. Next caller. I jest.
Well, so I actually, you know, I don't live in Pittsburgh, so I haven't been following the show, but Corey told me that breakups were...
When you say Corey, you of course mean tonight's DJ Monkey Business.
DJ Monkey Business, I'm sorry.
Corey was obviously your...
Corey would be your...
Some man you've broken up with at some point. Like,
oh, that's right. I see you've already begun the discussion.
The hardened leader of your... the hardened female warden of your cell block.
Oh, we should have done that. I could have pretended I was calling from prison. Oh, excellent. No. So what's going on the show there? What am I interrupting?
Well, I was tearfully recounting that night with my uncle when I was 7. But that's okay. I don't mind holding off on it.
The night he broke up with you.
Oh boy. Well, now I feel like a heel. So what are we talking about? Breakups?
Talking about breakups. The end of relationships.
The end of relationships.
The bitter, black, dark dregs at the bottom of that zesty coffee cup we call love.
That is a stage that I'm very familiar with.
So tell us about your worst breakup.
My worst breakup.
Worst to you.
Oh, worst to me. Well, that would just be sort of a pathetic, non-funny story.
Okay, but, worst to him then.
Worst to him.
No, we'll settle for pathetic and not funny.
Well, the last one was pretty awful. We've been together for 5 years, and I just decided at the very end of the relationship that I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I just walked out one day and left.
Couldn't stand what?
So horrible. I just couldn't stand living in the same house with this person. But it came as a total surprise to him, and, you know, I had gone behind his back and rented an apartment. And,
wow.
Yeah, it was really horrible.
That's elaborate.
Yeah, well, you know, it was fairly elaborate.
So I mentioned a theory earlier in the show that a wise female friend of mine once told me that you can always see the seed of your breakup at the very beginning of a relationship. Mm. Do you think this is true in this case?
Oh, certainly true for me, yes. Absolutely.
So, really?
Yeah.
Like, can you tell us specifically what it was that you might have realized later was the beginning of the end?
Oh, see if I can tell you without embarrassing myself completely.
Oh, it's too late for that.
So I gather. I can't believe this is actually on the air. How many people listen to this show?
Well, since it's archived forever on the web, conceivably trillions at some point in the future.
Oh, amazing.
After humanity has spread to the stars.
That's wonderful. Well,
yeah, it could become part of school curricula when we're replaced by...
This very show could be worshipped as some kind of testament from an angry god.
Oh, how wonderful. Wow. I'm so grateful for the
choose your words we could,
like, the humanists could be genetically engineered to be born with memories of the show.
Well, that would be an advantage over our current state. Well, you know, it just never was, I don't know, he was always sort of controlling, he was older than me, and, you mm-hmm. know, and I sort of looked up to him. He was a professor of mine, actually.
No, so, are you referring to me?
No, I would not be referring to DJ...
Monkey Business,
no. Although I, of course, held him in great esteem as well.
Well, wait, can I ask you a quick question, though?
Yeah, what's that?
So is he this, let's say you and he shared a radio show.
Uh-huh.
Is he the sort of guy that would come on the radio show and announce that he wouldn't take any crap from anybody, and that if you talked back to him, you'd be gone?
Well, no, he probably, have you had a caller like that already tonight?
Well, we've had a DJ like that already.
Oh, no, but that is stirring a faint recollection in my brain of a relationship long before that I did have, which I'd love to go into more detail about, if DJ Monkey Business hasn't already, yeah.
So this was a controlling thing, like he was too dominant, he pushed you around?
Well, yeah, and I let him, you know, because I thought, oh, he's a professor, he's very smart, and, you know, I'm such a little student. And, you know, I didn't realize that I was doing that for a couple of years, you know.
Yeah.
And then I just realized what I got into, and, you know, it wasn't a good thing.
That is very common, though, the things that you're appealing at the beginning of a relationship, or even cute, like her
sure.
raging hyena-like laugh, gradually become grating to the point of ending the relationship.
Well, I did have a relationship like that where I think it was talking during the movies, wasn't it, DJ Monkey Business?
Are you referring to our own tragic
I am referring to. I have to reveal to your radio audience.
So you're one of
DJ
Monkey Business's
friends?
DJ Monkey Business and I, yes, we were involved for a tragically
wow.
tragically abbreviated period back in college. Yep.
I mean, because I am an international celebrity, you know, I've bedded hundreds of women. So
that is a subject that I'm sure your listeners would.
My time with you is... you know, it's a dim memory. In fact,
a dim memory? How can you say that? I was mad at you for at least a year after that. Oh.
Well, can we ask about the breakup?
Well, let's see. I think Corey just, DJ Monkey Business, he eventually just stopped calling me and sort of didn't want to hang up.
That's a pretty standard college breakup.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, actually, now I feel like a complete ass because earlier I was, to prepare for the show, I was prowling around the internet looking for sort of interesting things about breakups. And there were a number of pages on how to break up with people, right?
Uh-huh.
And if they had one thing in common, it was something like the following. Don't wuss out and just stop calling them.
Absolutely.
Like, that was universally considered a breakup no-no.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, yes, but, you know, he was younger then. He was, what, 35? So, I have to excuse it in light of his youth. And I actually don't remember how the final breakup came.
No thrown crockery?
No, I don't think so. I think I probably threw some things around my dorm room.
Wow.
But he wasn't there to take them on the head.
No. I was kind of a weenie for that. Now in my more assertive grown-up days, I probably would have thrown a thing or two at him. But
Well, it's never too late.
Well, exactly.
You could always make the trip here to Pittsburgh. And
or if you ask us real nice, we might be able to throw something at them.
Throw some mic stands.
That would be very satisfying. That would be good. Now, are you guys on video tonight? I saw one of your shows that was on, you know, not video, but, you know.
Webcam?
Kind of webcam, yeah, that's right. Am I going to get to see this later on?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, unfortunately, no.
That's so sad.
However, I suppose you could do sock puppets, right?
Sock puppets? Yeah, maybe I'll do that here in my bedroom.
Stick your hands up through the bottom of a cardboard box.
That's great. You know, it's almost the same as being there.
Make me a gray wolf.
You have no idea how true that statement really is.
But I want to point out that one thing that was very, very different and very unusual about our own tragic breakup is that we eventually became friends again. And
yes.
most people that break up have to avoid each other for life and basically curse the ground that the other person walks on and so on. But now we're fabulously close.
And that's definitely my only ex that I've had that phenomenon occur with. You know, and I to be honest, DJ whatever, I think in all honesty it's probably because, you know, you told me that you were gay and then I was able to say, that's the only reason he broke up with me.
It wasn't your braying hyena laugh.
It wasn't my braying hyena laugh or my tendency to like talk in the middle of movies and, you know, drive you insane. I mean, I still remember that. I remember like 12 years ago, you turning to me in the middle of a movie. I think it was like The Seventh Seal or something.
It was a very moving moment in The Seventh. I think Demi Moore had just discovered her, like, you know.
Let's talk. This is a Demi Moore movie, Demi, not The Seventh Samurai.
Well, it must have been a G-rated movie if kids as young as you 12 years ago were able to see it.
Exactly. It certainly was.
Perhaps the scene when Bambi's mother dies? You actually came out to an ex-girlfriend during a movie?
No, that occurred later. I think the breakup would have been a little bit smoother if he had come out earlier on. You know, I could have put it all behind me. But.
So is that indeed the case that the only reason you broke up with her is because of
your pitching for the wrong team?
I'm not sure that I want to know if that's the only reason you broke up with me.
Well, then you shouldn't have called.
Shh, don't just, no, that's not the way we treat the callers on the show.
Thank you.
No, we're extremely grateful. I mean, I'm not trying to get rid of you or anything. We're extremely grateful for your call.
Thank you. Well, I'm so glad to have called.
Grumpy.
And I'm sorry to have, you know, interrupted your, you know, altar boy abuse story that was going on before I called.
No, it was an altar boy breakup story.
Altar boy?
I just suspected. Well, perhaps I should let you guys get back to the show.
No.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Wait. Hang on. We actually have two important questions before you go.
What's that?
First, actually, I did want you to go into a little bit deeper with your breakup stories, which we actually didn't really get a chance to hear. I think you've had some, as I know well, you've had some other pretty annoying.
Oh, recently.
Like the delicious, see, the delightful, ironic twist to the piece of advice about not calling somebody when you want to break up with them. You know, just. You're not supposed to just stop calling.
Uh-huh.
You've actually been in a situation where you wish people would stop calling.
And, in fact, where I have taken exactly your tactic, DJ.
My business.
Part
of the reason it was so difficult to, like, stay going out with you is because you have the short-term memory of a gnat. I mean, how hard is it to remember DJ Monkey Business? I mean,
you know what, to tell you the truth, I'm really exhausted. I have to get up at 5 in the morning, and I'm really sleepy, you know. But I'm sure there are a few things that I can remember that callers would be interested to hear.
Especially any stories containing the word floppy would be especially appreciated.
The size of my
floppy. We actually didn't get far enough to get into anything that would be described by the word floppy in our relationship.
Not even his earlobes?
Earlobes. Hmm. I don't know if we even got that far. It's pretty chaste. Pretty amazing.
And that's why your mother liked me, because I wasn't.
Exactly. That is so true, and she still says all the time, how's Corey, blah, 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 blah.
She does not.
Yes, she does.
Really?
And she's still with that man and stuff like that. she's still hopeful. Well, you know, Corey, that is true, actually.
Wait, caller, you keep confusing me. Who's this Corey you refer to? Some sort of ex-boyfriend from a breakup story?
You know what? You're right. I'm so obsessed with the man that I repeatedly use his name.
You're projecting his identity onto our host.
God, I certainly am. It's a psychological problem I've lived with for years, ever since our breakup back in 1988.
Wow.
It was literally in 88.
It was literally.
Did you like scratch that into your arm?
I certainly did. Yeah, it's my wrist, Corey. Yes, indeed, I certainly did.
So the other question I have is on a more spiritual level. Before you called, you probably didn't hear this because you're not in the Pittsburgh area.
And I'm too incompetent to set up Audio Active, yes.
But right, exactly. So, I was hypothesizing that even though the Pope lives a sexless life, he has a very intimate relationship with God, and there are times when maybe his faith was faltering a little bit, perhaps earlier in his religious training, and he probably felt like God had broken up with him and had stopped calling. Mm-hmm. Do you have any insight into this?
Do you feel like that was sort of how my relationship with DJ 2000 might have been, with Corey/DJ 2000?
In that scenario, are you the Pope or is he the Pope?
I don't know. I would perhaps me as God and as him as the Pope. I'm not sure what kind of thing I want to
take. That certainly works out from the hat angle.
Yeah, well, that's not too many other angles.
The Zucchini.
No, I don't have any deep spiritual insights on that one. No.
Interesting.
No. I think the Pope must have misinterpreted the situation, and in fact, God wanted to call, but he was really busy. You know, that's what I told my most recent.
I always thought it was more like just they were on break, but they both knew they loved each other so much they would have to get back together.
That's right. That's right. They were just taking some time away.
The Pope wanted to see other deities.
You guys have solved it.
I'm not sure we can ever solve that question, really.
No, it's one that's troubled philosophers for ages.
Yes,
as far as I know.
So there's somebody that you actually. So I don't know how much detail we should go in here, but
no one I know is listening to this.
But I think you referred to somebody who you used the immortal line, "Let's just be friends," on, which everyone knows means, please stop calling me. I'll stop calling you.
Exactly. I was totally truthful with him. I mean, in that sense, you know. Right. Well, you know what I mean. I gave him the universally accepted signal, as you just said. Yes.
But ironically, instead of accepting that signal, he now is taking you literally in this totally cruel, torturous way.
Yes.
And like forcing you to go on friendly little dates, which you've been going on. Right?
Oh, the irony.
It's horrible. Yes, it is. It is horrible. You know, here I finally girded up my loins to tell somebody the quasi truth. You know, to actually like confront somebody and cut off the dating thing, and yes, he calls me all the time, and to tell you the truth, I did go on a couple of, you know, friendly dates, quote-unquote, with him, thinking that, you know, maybe we'll become friends. I mean, you know, it's always a possibility, but no, in fact, he is as obnoxious on our friendly dates as he ever was on our, you know, one or two dates.
Is it time for a post-breakup?
That's my question. How do I do that? Do I have to be just, like, completely stunningly honest at this point and say exactly what it is about him that I don't like?
No. I think you keep appending the word sub to friends. So you have to say, I think we should stop being friends, but we can be sub-friends. And then when he gets too annoying, then you can be sub-sub-friends.
That's an excellent idea.
And just keep pushing him slowly farther and farther away.
But you know what? My life is dwindling as this goes on. You know what I mean? I avoid the phone. I don't pick up the phone. You know, he called me, like, at 10:30 tonight. You know, obviously, like, the only time that I'd be guaranteed to be home since I have no social life. I mean, you know, he's constantly calling me, and
Perhaps he was powerfully psychic and was trying to prime you for talking about breakups on the show.
Perhaps he was, yes. Yes, well, he did leave me with a powerful feeling of irritation. And so I lied and said I had to go out and walk my dog, and I would have to call him tomorrow.
Have you ever used the wash your hair excuse?
No, I think the walk my dog one is almost as good, though. Mm.
So my powerful logical mind has developed two possible scenarios here for what he might be thinking. Either scenario A, he lacks the ability to perceive the traditional social cues that the rest of us take for granted, and so he really doesn't know that you're giving him the brush off.
That's possible. I mean, he is like an internet entrepreneur type, you know what I mean?
Oh, well.
Yeah. Did you destroy some small chunk of his brain, perhaps, while you were dating that could be responsible for this lack of social?
You should never piff on the first date.
Oh, I wish that
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what piff means.
It means to remove
thing, right?
Part of the brain. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you do it while they're alive, right?
Yes.
Oh, thank God we didn't have to do that.
Often done to frogs in biology class.
Yes, exactly.
What about the part of the brain that stops people from being sexually wanton? Might you not want to remove that from the brain?
True, but I think the average man or woman on the street is probably not qualified to remove exactly that precise part of the brain because of its close proximity to the continue to send this person beadwork for the rest of your life part.
True, but then it's a question of just qualifications. And so, like, board-certified neurosurgeons
They can piff on
they,
the first
they date. Can ignore your pithy, yes. No pithing on the first date. Right. Okay, sorry. Back to your powerfully observant mind.
So the second scenario is that maybe he has just decided, he and his little group of misogynist, you know, women-hating friends have decided, you know, if she's going to give me the total let's just be friends shut down, I'm going to make her life a living hell by taking everything she says literally.
You know what? That could very well be.
Kind of servant's revolt, as it's called.
So he doesn't actually want to be friends with her. He's just doing it to irritate her.
Oh, right. That's making both of us completely miserable.
Sub-scenario B1, he may think, well, you know, I failed on the first try, but if Anne...
See, I think that's the... Oh, my God. Did you use my name on the air?
Wait, and what?
If Andy...
the date...
Are you talking about friend of the show?
I guess I am.
But you're saying he might be thinking, oh, I can win her back by showing her what a swell guy I am?
See, so I kind of think that's true. Because
would that be more pathetic or
the...
less pathetic than the first?
But this is totally standard. Like, in at least all the teen movies I've seen, you know, the suitor just tries and tries and tries again to win the love of the, like, totally fabulous female lead and eventually does.
True.
That's the part of the story that's going to have to deviate from the...
Yes, where John Hughes failed us all.
Yeah, exactly. That could very well be his social model. I mean, I imagine he didn't get out much in high school, you know, as a computer scientist.
So
yes, we know how nerdy they are.
Yes, okay.
So he's an ultra-rich internet entrepreneur?
You know, I don't think he's ultra-rich yet. No, I don't really understand what it is that he does. What? But
did you say internet interpreneur?
I wish that I had, no. No. I mean, that could be his business. I mean, you know, I understand so little about computers, he could very well be hiding that. But
you'd think that would eventually come out in conversation.
Yes. I was
looking through my 9-terabyte porn database the other day. When I...
Do you mind if I leave the cam on while we make love? So did you have sex with him?
Oh, how can you say that? No, we kissed, though.
Ugh. Good kisser?
No.
So this is, again, related to breakups, right? Like, many women have told me.
Uh-huh.
That if a guy doesn't kiss well, basically the relationship is doomed from the get-go. Like, almost nothing can salvage it if the guy's a nasty kisser.
And is that just a correlation between kissing and personality, or is it that kissing never gets better?
Actually, I think kissing is so important that...
Well, I think it's a correlation between two things. One, like, kissing as a reflection of your personality on some deeper sense. And also, and this has been mentioned explicitly, kissing as it correlates to sexual performance in bed. Not necessarily performance in terms of porn star duration and... flying wads, but in terms of, like, style, approach, sensitivity, and so forth.
Well, let me just tell you that I was forever scarred when DJ 2000, or DJ whatever, DJ...
Monkey Business.
Whatever. When DJ Monkey Business told me that I did not kiss well, in fact, that I was biting him.
That did not happen.
You bit him?
Yes. Oh, yes, it did.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, it did. And that's weighed on my brain for all these many years, and I don't think I've ever told him that, so I thought I'd choose this moment on the air.
Can we see the bite marks?
Well, I remember the bite marks you left on my ass, but I thought those were love bites.
Don't even joke about that.
Wait, is there some ass-centric story here to be?
No, there's a total absence of any ass-centric stories.
I mean, maybe if we'd done a little bit more ass-biting, things could have turned out much differently.
I would have been even more devastated when when you ultimately rejected me, yes.
But I think sort of, you know, more ass-centric sex might have kept me interested in you a little longer.
Perhaps I could have sort of dressed up.
That would have been a little cruel to her. If you're usually merely using her as a surrogate for your own perverted gay desires.
Companion, yes.
So what's your point?
Isn't that what every relationship is all about?
Yeah, one man's cruel is another man's lifeline.
Exactly. That's
really great. Woody Allen once said.
So on this kissing thing.
I guess I won't say it. Never mind.
I'm sorry.
No.
Please proceed.
No. Tell us.
No, was it from Annie Hall? I don't know. Some movie, right? Like, asked by a psychologist, do you think sex is degrading to women? And he replies, well, only if it's done properly. But that's Woody Allen.
And that's certainly
who ended up having sex with his daughter. So not advice, merely satire.
So my mythological mind has the following three comments to make. First, my kissing comment to you is meant as advice and feedback.
I remember this so vividly. We were standing on the landing to my dorm.
Yes, it's the G and G D.
Oh God, you remember this too? And you said maybe this isn't the best time to bring this up.
Evidently, it wasn't.
And how cracked that was.
Well, I think you nicked an artery.
What did you say? You kiss like a Wolverine on crack?
That was a
What exactly did he say? Because I'm sure your memory of it is vivid and painful to this day.
He didn't actually make fun of me, to tell you the honest truth. He said something to the effect that, you know, I'm sure, you know, you don't realize this, and...
But kissing isn't supposed to draw blood.
Something like that, yeah, that's it. And when the paramedics left, you know, he was fine, so I don't really know exactly what his problem was, but...
It
left me plagued with insecurities for years.
Really?
Absolutely.
How long did it take you to date somebody after you'd broken up with the mysterious Corey you referenced?
Longer than I anticipated. Couple of years, and then it was a real jerk, I think. I mean, I'm trying to remember.
But then again, this was at one of those East Coast Ivy League schools where dating is not considered a priority, right?
Not apparently for the men I wanted to go out with. No.
Well, at the snooty East Coast school I went to, dating or having a girlfriend or boyfriend is often referred to as the sixth course, because you had to take five courses a semester.
And that's
exactly how people viewed it. Sorry, we can't go out this semester because I'm taking organic chem.
Wow, that's horrible. That would be like a more tactful excuse, you know, I suppose.
Maybe that's the college version of I'm washing my hair.
I'm washing my hair.
Because everyone knows nobody washed their hair there.
I don't know where you went to school. We certainly, I don't remember if we washed our hair or not. That took a while. And then it was that awful jerk. Do you remember that DJ Monkey business? The jerk that was in love with me for 3 years. And then as soon as we went out, he started, like, he realized that I was not what he expected.
John Hughes style, he persisted after you for 3 years until he finally caved in?
He totally did, yeah. I finally caved in. Yeah. You know, we were at the beach, you know, big romantic evening or whatever. And literally, like, a month later, he got really, really bored and depressed and, you know, wanted to go back to his old girlfriend. And, you know, it was another, like, confidence-devastating kind of thing.
Wow,
you
yeah.
Know, someone to be sort of that surprised by what you're really like.
And that's kind of a classic immature,
yes.
Cloistered boy thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Set this woman on a pedestal, worship her from afar, and then when push comes to shove, you realize, wow. She farts. She's not perfect. She doesn't agree with everything I say.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much.
But if this is what I'm thinking of, I mean, this is like the tragically depressed, like,
yeah.
Faux author, annoying poser, right?
Yes, exactly. That would be that. Yes.
So who broke up with whom? He broke up with you?
He broke up with me. But then I had the incredible satisfaction. God, I still remember this too. Graduation night or commencement night or whatever. Him like chasing after me in DJ Monkey businesses in the yard in front of their dorm, saying, I'll die if you don't go out with me again. Please, please take me back. It was so
really?
Wonderful.
And so did you cackle evilly and say, then die?
I certainly did.
Excellent.
And he went on to have, like, a totally normal, well-adjusted life, you know,
well,
long-term girlfriend.
Serves him right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really get my revenge in the end, but... And DJ 2000, too, I hear that he's doing quite well. You know.
True. Well, you did get a dis-him, like, a rented meal at least once.
So how did he break up with you this first time?
Stop calling?
What?
Yeah, you know what? He did stop calling, and I confronted him, and then he finally, like, told me this terrible truth. That, you know, he
have you participated in any breakups where the modus operandi wasn't stop calling or the other person goes away?
Well, yes, the two that I initiated with my more serious boyfriends, yes. I broke up.
Oh, that's right, when he moved out.
Yeah, and when I moved out the last second after dishonestly, like, sticking around.
After having secretly secured an apartment. You know,
another boyfriend, new furniture, new identity.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Lined up a plastic surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like I was honest and forthcoming in that one. And before that, boyfriend before that, yes, definitely, like, told him right away what was going on. But now that I'm doing this awful sort of internet blind dating thing, I'm going to say that I have totally sunk to the depths of, DJ 2000 in his college years and stopped calling people and... Because I find that not everybody really wants to hear sort of obviously not everybody wants to hear an honest reaction, you know, when they say, like, do you want to go out again? So, you know.
Did you say you were doing online dating?
I certainly am, yes.
Well, speaking from some slight personal experience, don't go there.
Ooh, really?
Well, I don't see what the problem is. In theory, computers should make a match so perfect. That, I mean, all chance and nervousness and stress should be removed from the dating equation.
Well, you know, that's what one would think. Who is it there that has some slight experience with it?
Oh, DJ Bonobo here.
DJ Bonobo. I hope
basically,
it wasn't as bad as my experience.
My philosophy now, gathered from my own experience and a couple friends, is if they were worth dating, they wouldn't be trying to date on the internet.
Oh, see, but that's...
Wait, but let's explore that statement.
I'm crying here in my...
Well, at one point, you were out on the internet.
And I was not worth dating.
Yeah. All right. But think of your caller here, who might still be out on the internet. Absolutely worth dating. It just doesn't mean
I think that statement only applies in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yes, and New York City. Because one of my best friends spent several years dating via the internet in New York City, and the dates were all uniformly a disaster.
Several years? How could you stand it for several years? I've been there for 3 or 4 months, and ugh. I'm through with it.
But I thought Alan Tipper Gore meant the internet dating.
I didn't think he created it back then.
You know, he invented the missionary position.
Yeah, that's what I heard, and a couple other things, too, I read in the paper today down here.
He invented gerbilings.
Now, look, I need to impose a little structure on this on this call. Because, so here's my question. You know, you say, both of you claim that internet dating has been a disaster, but what's your control set? I mean, you know, real life dating is almost always a disaster, too. Is internet dating really worse?
My control set is porn.
Or is dating just like a big pain in the ass?
Where the women are compliant and gorgeous, yes. You know,
and where being a plumber is really exciting.
You know, DJ Monkey Business, I would actually tend to agree with your implication there. My control set is going out on blind dates set up by friends, and they have all been uniformly awful. In fact, probably worse than my internet dating experiences, with the exception of, you know, a couple of really terrifying internet dating experiences. You know, terrifying in the sense of, you know, really unpleasant. Not
in the knife-wielding sense of terrifying.
No. Okay. No. But, yeah, blind dates set up by friends, ugh, what a nightmare.
But I mean, to be fair, you've had some like hot, attractive blind dates that have just turned out to be disasters. I mean,
that's true, right? They didn't turn into a relationship, or you know, that's true. That's
but they could have turned into porn. It sounds like.
Well, one turned into porn, but
really,
it wasn't long lived.
It wasn't full 2 hour.
Yeah. It was a full 2 hour episode.
Feature.
Yeah.
You mean literally porn, as in you've sent me the GIFs and they're in my inbox? Because I don't think I received those.
No, I said them for private viewing here in my home. The tears run down my face.
There's a deep question here, though, because just as you can ask the question, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, is it still fall? If porn happens and nobody's there to videotape, is it still porn?
Well, speaking of this, actually, I wish I could remember the author's name, but I just read in The New Yorker, I think last week or the week before, this guy has just come up with this book called, what was it, My 36 Girlfriends, or 36 Girlfriends, including naked pictures of 36 girlfriends he's had over the last 15 or so years.
Really? And this has been published by a real publisher?
Yeah, it took him 7 years to get all the permission.
He got permission from his girlfriends? Or from
all 36 of them, yes, which is amazing. And so this is amazing on so many levels to me. A, having dated 36 women in, I think, a period of 10 years is pretty outstanding. A, and B, having convinced 36 women to take, you know, to pose naked for him.
Yes, that's
and getting the permission is equally astonishing.
I think getting the permission is the hardest thing to believe. I mean, presumably they broke up.
Didn't he pith most of the women at some point? Didn't that make it much easier?
There's actually somebody who's been putting out a zine for the last several years on a regular basis, entirely based on his girlfriends and pictures of them and their consent and his sexual experiences, breakups, and everything, entitled Probe.
Really?
Well, you'd think the girlfriends would read back issues to sort of find out what they're in for, right?
He has, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Girls actually date him just to get the opportunity to be in his zine.
Oh, that's a little
sweet.
Scary.
Sassy molassy.
Wow.
Why didn't I think of this? I feel just as humiliated now as when I heard about, you know, Lycos for the first time. Like, I could have done that. Oh, well.
So,
how long has this zine been going on?
At least a few years, as far as I know.
Does he detail breakups, too?
Yep. He tells men how to treat women, both physically and mentally.
Now, does he give...
To do whatever they want.
And how does he tell women?
Does he give, like, seduce and destroy style advice, or is it more sensitive?
Probably a combination of both. A little bit of the how to be sensitive so that you can conquer. But in a constructive way.
Constructive to the man or constructive to the relationship?
I guess that's a matter of opinion.
Interesting.
There's another movie that just came out called 20 Blind Dates, I think, that was about a filmmaker whose idea for the movie was he wanted to go on 20 blind dates and film them and then make a movie about it.
I saw that in the video store. Yeah, he went out with Gwyneth Paltrow, apparently, on one of these blind dates.
I actually heard the movie was largely faked.
The
vast majority of the dates were not real. Were all set up and scripted.
Yeah.
And the fact that the guy was marketing is all cinema verite, real stuff.
So
I think he came under a certain amount of flack for that.
Let me say, if I had videotaped my 20 dates with these internet blind dates, I mean, it wouldn't make for fun viewing. You know? It would be incredibly, incredibly boring.
Oh, let us be the
date. Well, I mean, there's a market for faces of death, you know, one through four.
Or one of those, was it Andy Warhol? Faces he did it like 25 hours in front of the Empire State Building movies. Is that who it was?
I think that'd be probably much more boring than watching 25 blind dates, though.
These dates have been pretty boring. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's all these computer entrepreneurs, and they sit you down and they talk about themselves for hours.
Sure. Well, we keep watching, fast forwarding, hoping to get to the porn date.
Yeah, well, I see your point. That might be more entertaining, but.
So I don't care. So, being computer entrepreneurs, surely they've read the fact on the internet dating site, and they know that one of the important things to do on a date is to, like,
feign
interest.
Yeah, give
in
the impression
partner.
You care about the other person.
Right.
And they don't even make any semblance of, like, being interested in your life.
Well, they'll do that for, like, the first 15 seconds. They'll say, "So, where are you from?" And then you'll say, "Oh, I'm from Washington." Blah, blah, you know, very, blah, you know, you'll give a little 10-second spiel about where you're from. And they'll say, "That's very interesting. Now, I first invented," or, you know, they'll just go off on their spiel. You know, well, so I know that it's in their brain somewhere that they need to.
Can we brainstorm some suggestions for these dates? Like, next time they say that, say, "That's great. How does it help me become a theta clear?"
Or you can establish ground rules. Like, every sentence you start with the word "I," I'm going to stab you once with this fork.
Oh, that would be so satisfying.
And you could laminate the rules and hand them to them at the beginning of the date. Or no, like, right. Wait until they start to bore you and then say, "Oh, I forgot to give this to you. It's the ground rules of the date."
I owe you four stabbings.
Yeah, I owe you four stabbings. But I'll let them go this time because I didn't inform you of your rights properly.
I don't think that would actually worsen my dating success rate if I did that.
But it would make a much better movie.
And it would be much more entertaining for me. So maybe I will try that.
Yeah. I was actually given some excellent advice by a woman. Woman I'm still dating, actually, about that kind of situation. Like,
a guy
can be very eager to impress or please a woman he's going out with, and often men think the way to do that is to tell them stories about themselves to let them know who they are.
Sound like a big shot.
The neat things they've done, and to establish points of commonality, right? Like, if you mention you're from Vermont, he'll say, "Oh yeah, well, I went to Vermont once." Blah blah blah.
Right.
Right. Not realizing this is in fact kind of alienating.
Right.
To women, maybe to men.
Going to Vermont is alienating.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean,
all that syrup.
Whichever accent.
So perhaps you should just tell them, or I don't know, try to spread the word.
You know, I have been trying to do that. You know, with my male friends, and I think that's absolutely true, and that's why I usually give things at least two dates. You know, just to sort of see if that sort of nervousness I must impress thing wears itself out. But with a lot of these guys, it doesn't seem to. Even when we're sort of more comfortable with each other and. You know, they're still, you know, I'll say something and they'll say, "Oh, that's interesting. Well, like I was saying," and, you know, so, and this will go on, you know, with Mr. Let's Just Be Friends, okay.
That's the time for the fork.
Right.
So as just advice to all the computer science majors out there who are listening, and I know some of them are, ask lots and lots and lots of questions. Every time she says, "I grew up in Vermont," or something similar, say, "Oh, really? Tell me more about Vermont."
Oh, this is such a beautiful public service announcement. I only wish that it could be broadcast in Boston.
And I'm not saying perhaps you could carry around a cassette copy of this show with you on your dates.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And I don't mean that in an insincere way, but really, ask questions.
So I'm not clear about this. Like, so, I mean, any questions can I ask about bra size?
No, you're supposed to infer that from...
Well, only if she brings up the bra size first.
So I can only ask about stuff that she already brought up, right?
Well, the heuristic I'm giving.
Oh, is to take what she says and turn
every time
it
she
question.
Says something, okay. Not every time, but when she says something like, "I grew up in Vermont," ask her about what she just said.
It's
oh,
really?
Tell me more about Vermont.
What's the gross domestic product of Vermont? That sort of thing.
I hear the cheese is very good there. Yes.
The Vermont thing is actually a little bit dangerous because if you keep harping on Vermont, your date might start thinking that you're into the whole. That domestic partnership thing there, right?
Oh, true.
Maybe you should, like, hit all the states in a widening spell around it, saying, like, "Hey, you must have been to New Hampshire. What's New Hampshire like?
How about that moose jaw?"
Yeah. Or even, like, touch it up, like, get a little spicy with Quebec, which is right next door. Right?
Yes.
I hear Montreal has great restaurants. Do you agree?
I hear Maine is vacation land.
So I don't mean to be controlling and don't mean to be talking about me, but I feel like you've done our listeners such an incredible service so far with all your other dating tips. The key thing that men need to know, I believe, and this is what you can address, is the kiss. We touched on this earlier, but we didn't really complete the conversation. What I believe, you know, you said that the kiss is so crucial to the, you know, success or failure of a relationship. Can kissing techniques be learned and improved on? Can you teach, you know, empathy, sincerity.
And what's the best cut of meat to practice with?
And so, you know, for example, like, I believe that some of kissing, you know, what makes a good kisser is actually personal preference, and you should actually give, as I've demonstrated with you and with other partners.
With incredible success.
You should give feedback about, like, what's working for you and what's not. For example, in my current so-called relationship, you know,
oh.
my... partner prefers a sort of wetter kiss than I would normally find, you know, prudent. And so, like, I'm finding, like, I have to, like, sponge off my face afterwards, you know, after it's sort of a
heavy. Wait, he likes you to give a wetter kiss, or he likes to deliver a wetter kiss?
It's just like, you know, I think on both ends, there's sort of more saliva than I would.
So the solution for you is to stay hydrated, right? Drink lots of fluids.
That's right, and keep my mineral and potassium levels up, because otherwise I can come to dangerous.
And keep a chamois handy to tell
septic shock.
So, but that digresses away from actual kissing technique, right?
Well, I mean, but it is a component of technique, I think, is like, you know, a wet kiss versus a sort of drier kiss. Like,
yeah. So I think kissing technique can be learned over the long term, certainly. On the short term, as in the space from one day to the next, that's more difficult.
And when you're at the stage of the first kiss, you can't really be giving feedback at that point, you know.
No tongue on the first kiss. That's
well,
more
well, that's
the
rule that we
could
all adhere to. Yeah.
But again, you know, it's not in the books. We don't learn that in CS 101.
I didn't know that. That shocks me. No tongue on the first kiss.
I mean, no well, human tongue, certainly.
Right. Again, that's just a good guideline. You know, they're always
exceptions. Walk us and our rapt listeners through, like, the guidelines for the first kiss, since it is so important. You know, let's bust through this barrier where people can't talk about the kiss. Let's have it. I mean,
who are you addressing there?
I'm just saying,
not me.
You know, the only other time this has been covered is in, you know,
every Glamour magazine
issue of Young Miss or
in 17.
So
not
why,
that I read
why
them.
Is there no male equivalent? Why doesn't Maxim or whatever in details? Why don't those go into, you know?
They do.
They don't go into kissing, but they go into like how to be stamp full of stamina in bed. Like,
yeah.
Every issue of Men's Health and Maxim and so forth always are about your abs.
Yeah.
And about like
and
yes, how to stay harder longer or how to convince her to have that threesome, which are basically the guy equivalents of how to kiss well.
Uh-huh.
But back to the guidelines for the first kiss. Right now we have no tongue, human or otherwise.
Nothing wet on the first kiss at all. I mean, no, like, you know, whatever.
It depends.
Should you sponge off before the kiss then? To,
but you like, want your lips to be totally dry and arid. I mean,
No. Like, just chapsticked, you know, that sort of.
Really, the greasy chapstick lip kiss may not be a wise move.
Well, I don't think
I
greasy, but you know, when you put the chapstick
beforehand.
On in like 10 minutes later, yeah. It's sort of like, you know, your lips are at their optimal.
What about some sort of natural fat like butter on the lips?
Lard, if you're from West Virginia.
Yeah, I prefer to bring a tub of Crisco with me.
Anything else? Okay.
Oh, but you mean to your fisting sessions.
Yeah, I like to start with a little fisting before the first kiss, you know, because I really think that sort of tells more about a person.
Sure. Well, that leads to the obvious question, like, you know, if a man just isn't a good fister, do you give up on him? Or do you say, I think there's room for improvement here?
No, I think fisting can be taught and learned.
I mean, for example, as a man, I have very small hands for a man, and I think that's what was very disappointing in our relationship was that I just couldn't satisfy you.
Can you just worn gloves?
Boxing gloves, perhaps?
Yeah, well, those pre-thin fluid, gigantic, you know, ski gloves, yeah. That would have improved things a great deal. DJ. DJ.
Monkey business.
We're not reimbursing you for this call, by the way.
Oh, jeez. I got to get off the air. Hey, what bad words are you allowed to say on the air? Are you allowed to say anything? I mean, could I totally, like, bring the FCC down on your radio station? If
we follow very strict guidelines. So keep your...
Yeah, don't say tort.
I know about you and your potty mouth, so just keep it clean.
All right. I'll try to... No,
remember, this is a Pope-themed show, so...
Well, I take that as my subtle cue to get off the phone, so that's what I'm going to do. But it's a pleasure talking to you guys.
What's up? See, what's this, the SmackDown?
We're not reimbursing you for this call. I mean,
that did sound pretty...
Well, it just occurred final. To me that...
That was a cry for help.
That was a purely altruistic...
I mean, you still owe me for that time we went out for pizza, and I said it was Dutch.
Ooh.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, I think the 325 we're talking about is... We're all clear on that, yeah. All right, well, good luck with the rest of the show there.
All 5 minutes of it. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much, caller.
That was a great call.
It leads me to the obvious next question, which is, I want to hear more about your breakup with Matt Damon. I realize that's also from your college days, DJ. Monkey business. Was it just that he wasn't, the kiss wasn't there? Was that the problem?
The fisting.
Well, it's kind of sad. You know, I saw in him this tremendous future talent, and I knew he would be a big star and be incredibly wealthy and talented and famous. So, but for me, there just wasn't the spark. I mean, and frankly, we're both bottoms. That was actually the other problem. And you know, as any gay man will tell you, I mean, you know, that that's the death knell for a relationship. I mean, you really ought to find out right at the beginning what the sort of polarity of your partner.
I can't believe there's not technology, some sort of like double-ended dildo that could have that, you know. Work
well, there are indeed double-ended dildos, but you know, there's still nothing. I mean, you know, although technology has progressed at a furious rate in the past 100 years, there's nothing quite as satisfying as a real, you know, human penis.
I would beg to differ, but.
Well, now let's hear your proposed object that's as good as human penis.
Well, for me personally, like, real-life human penises don't do much for me at all. I was just making it.
This is just your jackass way of, like, reminding listeners that you're heterosexual. Okay, we get it.
I don't want to be heteronormative.
Well, unfortunately, the stench of heteronormativity.
I know. I've ruined it all, haven't I?
I mean, clearly your penis must be doing stuff for you.
I've discarded that portion of my container.
I mean, you look pellucid limber. I mean, can you actually perform auto fellatio?
No, and not that I haven't tried. Like, I think every 13-year-old boy at some point dedicates himself to.
And we were a lot more flexible at 13 than we are now, too. Yeah. That's sort of surprising.
And some people do. Like, you know, I go to this website called Sean Cam Live. I mean, I also go to John Cam Live, J-O-H-N.
Wait, Sean Cam can.
But Sean, S-E-N, Sean Cam Live can definitely autofillate.
S-E-N or S-E-A-N.
Are you getting kickbacks every time you mention Sean Cam on the air?
S-E-A-N, Sean Cam Live. You know, I ought to, because he's making big money. He charges members $20 a month to, like, watch him, like, autofillate.
Wow.
And it's really, I mean, he's like a master of, you know, Pavlovian conditioning, because he doesn't masturbate every night. Sometimes he just, like, puts the cam on him while he, like, types on his computer. And you're like, come on, masturbate. And then he gets really mad if you go into the chat room and ask him to masturbate. He's like, he'll kick people out of his chat room for, like, treating him like a trained monkey. So you just have to sit there like a little slave waiting for him to, like, get the urge to autofillate.
Well, you understand. I mean, well, I have two comments. First, DJ Monkey Business, with your powerful psychic abilities, I don't know why you just don't implant the urge to autoflate in him. And two, he's clearly mastered the art of the random reinforcement schedule, which years and years of psychological experimentation has shown is far more powerful than a regular reinforcement schedule. So autoflating each night with some small probability is likely to suck your viewers in much more than autoflating each night. Right.
Well, indeed, and that's why I was praising him for being a master of this technique. But still... I don't know what
does this have to do with breakups?
I feel like every night when I have to close my little browser window, some part of me dies just a little bit.
Well, and on that note, we're just about out of time, right?
And so we are. So I want to thank our caller for calling. I want to thank Lance and DJ Witherspoon for joining us. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Please tune in again next week, Tuesday at 11 p.m. Also, visit our website, sextalk.wrct.org.